into a 2-on-2. That bomb's so far. Tink, they gotta move quick right now. They're going for it. The defuse is already happening. Hiko, are you kidding me? He's gonna go for it. They win the round. Hiko picks up a triple and Cloud9 win it. What?
I can dance all day.
I got
what a wall. And in a bat. You did on top me. They've lost three. They've lost four. It's a disaster. They've lost five. Disintegrating Kung Fu!
I mean, my heart's beating, my hands are shaking!
He's thinking about it, here it comes!
Man, from
that guy's
the
pretty
bottom.
Close!
They're gonna dive in, it was the target, it's here, they've exhausted Uzi! Oh! On the back, they're trying to get in, but Zero's taking over, sorry! He's gonna go down as well! Insane low, Insane goes down! Now Uzi is
just... Oh my
yes!
There's a god!
Are you kidding me?
Let's keep it clean. It's family show.
Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show.
And so it begins. Just like that, episode one, The Center Ring, is what we're calling this show. For the second time, episode one starts. We'll explain that here in a second. It is coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. Tim Krajewski, they call me. Across the table is my good friend, Brandon Harrison. Brandon, how are you?
How's it going? Doing well.
We're here in the studios and everything is going according to plan. So far, everything is good. I want to talk a little bit here about what the podcast and everything is, what we hope to be, what it hopes to shape up. Like I said, our name is The Center Ring. We are here to discuss what? Professional gaming, really, in a nutshell.
Professional gaming, esports.
All that implies.
Yeah, everything that goes along with it.
Right. So kind of our hopes and dreams of this is to... at least my hopes and dreams, is to get maybe an outlet for people who want a talk platform for professional gaming, because there's really not one out there. We've scoured the internet. There are various forms.
Oh, yeah. YouTube, Twitch, all these video broadcasting stuff. I mean, it's all out there, but there's no... You can't listen to that stuff on the go. So that's what we want to bring to everyone else. You know, you can get your news and keep walking instead of having to sit down and watch a video all the time.
Right. So that is what we're here for. I hope to, if you haven't ever tested the waters of professional gaming, I hope this is something that might pique your interest in the sense of maybe sitting down and watching a match or two of whether that be, you know, Counter-Strike, Dota, League of Legends, Hearthstone, Rocket League.
There's so many out there now.
There is a plethora of games out there now, and it seems like every game that comes out tries, you know, they at least...
And anything that has multiplayer right now, somebody tries to push a tournament for something.
Right. So whether or not it sticks, they definitely give it a go. So, I mean, you know, if Counter-Strike's not your jam, try Dota. If Dota's not your jam, try Hearthstone. You can have your picks there, and maybe you'll like it, maybe you'll hate it, maybe you'll still feel as weirded out as before for watching people play video games, but, you know, weirder things have happened.
I just want everyone to realize how hard these people that play these games at the professional level, I mean, they're not winning the millions of dollars that professional athletes are getting right now, but these guys are practicing just as often as, you know, a football player does to be good at what they do.
Yep. And, you know, believe it or not, I'd have to imagine at some point in time, someone laughed at someone for saying, I'm going to make money throwing a ball around.
A leather ball, yeah.
So it does happen and things change. And esports is definitely on the rise, so why not be a part of it when it goes? So I mentioned that this is the second time we're doing episode one here. For those who don't know, as you're recording on a MacBook, if the screensaver goes on, it stops recording. And
novice mistake, but
you know, you lose everything that you just worked for an hour or so. So here we are doing it again, a little different now. a few days have passed, so we can kind of jump on to a lot of the other tournaments here that have wrapped up over the weekend. Some started and wrapped up all over the weekend. So there you go. We'll definitely dive into ESL Dubai. We'll look at that. We'll look at the iBuy Power Invitational.
Ball Invitational, yep.
That was to me, a surprise because
it was a really quick online tournament.
It was announced Friday, started, and then finished. I mean, it very odd, but I have some theories on that. What else are we talking about? We're going to talk about some betting in gaming. That is definitely a hot topic nowadays, and I've even spoken with friends about it, and they can't wrap their head around why people are doing that. Once again,
I'm totally following into that camp, though. I don't.
Once again, people place money on everything, so to be surprised that it's about video games doesn't make any sense to me because.
Hey, we were just talking about there's sports betting.
You can bet on anything, whether that be sports or anything, you can do it on. So we're going to talk about that. Hopefully, all technical issues aside, everything will work. This will be in your ear holes here, and we'll have a good time. Speaking of technical issues aside, there was the tournament a few weeks ago. It might be old news now for some, but I definitely want to discuss it because it definitely warrants discussion. And that is the Gaming Resort Gaming Paradise Tournament.
Yeah. It's all confusing. There's three companies involved
Up. So to set it up, I guess that's a good point, Brandon. So before we get into this, let's set this up. The organization is Gaming Resorts.
Right.
The tournament is Gaming Paradise.
Gaming Paradise.
The other company thrown into this mix is Gaming.RS.
Yeah, who was contracted to set up the stage and do the broadcasting.
Right.
For Gaming Resorts.
Right. For Gaming Resorts Gaming Paradise Tournament. So now that we have all that mixed up, and it will still probably be confusing here, basically what happened was the CEO of Gaming Resorts was like, hey, let's set this company up. Let's do this tournament. This was their first big tournament. Probably their first ever from what I've read. There's a lot of reports out there kind of conflicting and everything, and we'll kind of dive into here. But for the longest time, to set it up, because I'm sure most of you already know, you want to kind of take us through the storyline?
Right, so Gaming Resorts was going to put on this tournament, decided to put it on, contracted out Gaming RS to do the broadcast. Gaming RS shows up, sets all their stuff up, and then kind of notices that there's no computers to play any of the games on, which for a professional gaming event,
kind of a big deal.
It's a problem, right? So Gaming Resorts had contracted two guys to bring all of these computers and monitors to the venue. And the day that they were supposed to be setting it up, which why you would try to set this LAN up like hours before it begins is completely beyond me.
There are a lot of things that don't make sense in this. That being the first.
Anyone that has ever touched a computer knows it's never going to work perfectly in the first go. But needless to say, so they're trying to set it up, and the guy that's supposed to be bringing the computers just falls off the grid. Nobody's heard from him. Nobody can find him. Nobody knows where he's at. The other guy was like, well, all I'm supposed to get is monitors. So that's what he did. He got monitors.
So we have monitors. We have no computers. Time passes. Everyone's freaking out. This is already, and I can tell you this because I actually had bets on the first match, was Mouse Sports and somebody. I forget who they were playing. But they were playing somebody, and it was the first match of the tournament, and there were some delays. And then there were some more delays, and they kept doing the bit of, we're going to push this back 30 minutes. 30 minutes have passed. Okay, we're going to push it back an hour.
Right.
Hours passed.
So the first like delay happened on September 6th at like 2 o'clock in the morning, our time. And they did not get any computer set up for another 2 hours after that. And I mean, or no computers arrived until 2 hours after that, which they apparently had snagged some cheapo computers that were supposed to be used in a LAN for people watching the tournaments. So they could handle the games, but they could not handle all of the additional stuff they had to do, which was like the streaming and the overlays and all that other garbage. So they get these. So then at that point, they have to go out and purchase graphics cards to put into these computers to run the games. And it wasn't long after that that the Dota 2 tournament was outright canceled.
So they completely, at this point, CSGO is holding up by very little, but, you know.
Well, I think the only reason CSGO
they
stayed.
Have chewing gum and some sticks to hold this these computers together. Dota 2 is gone.
At they that ran point, out of time. They didn't have time.
They offered refunds for guests that have already purchased tickets. I don't know what they did with the teams that were probably already there. You have some of the top teams in the world that were invited to this tournament, and
word on the street is they got like travel stipends to be there and hotels, so I guess they were kind of, I mean, I guess it's like,
it's like
a vacation at that point. Yeah, just done for the weekend or whatever. But they get all that stuff situated, and then they completely cancel the tournament. And Gaming RS, once again, a different company from everyone else, all these players rallied and said, you know, we're here, the computers are set up, we'll go ahead and play this tournament, stream it, people can watch it, kind of treat it like practice, because the ESL Dubai Invitational that a lot of these teams were invited to was coming up.
It was
real
like in
quick.
4 or 5 days at this point.
Yeah, real
and
quick.
And one thing I want to make a point, and this drives me insane in really every esport that I feel like they struggle in, is communication when there is a delay.
Right.
A, delays in general in esports kill me, because I get it. There's a lot of technology involved, and especially if it's an online tournament, then you have internet connections. You have people DDoSing the streams. There's a lot of things that I mean, I've never organized one. I'm assuming there's a lot of things that can go wrong that can cause a delay. Nonetheless, none of these places actually.
Nobody says anything.
Care to tell you why. They're just like, it's a delay.
That's what I said.
We'll be back in a few.
The original notice of delay came like several hours after the tournament was supposed to start. And then they were like, oh, yeah, by the way,
this is what's going on. So you have everybody speculating there, which is never good when the internet is speculating. You have all this going on. There's nothing, no word from Gaming Resort. Even at this point, gaming.rs, they come out looking like the good guy, but even during the tournament, there was very little. Now, I guess that
they didn't have a whole lot
really
to say,
but their say in it, because I'm sure they were just out of the loop as many.
Right.
So after the tournament was taking place, everyone was, you know, saying what they said about it, saying the CEO mentioned that he was going to step down, possibly, of
the
Gaming Resort.
Yep.
He mentioned that he might step down because this just isn't his thing after one tournament. I guess he thought it was going to be a lot easier, but at the same
time, probably get some gamers in a room and just let them play video games and I'll make some money off of
it.
Right,
and at the same time, though, maybe not set up the day of. How about that works?
But thankfully the Gaming RS guy actually managed to broker a deal between the players that actually finished the tournament out and Gaming Resorts to get the winnings paid out supposedly within 90 days. And he claimed there were some serious penalties if they didn't pay within the 90 days. He has no idea where the money's coming from, but that they're supposed to get paid. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of a win as far as the players go.
As far as the players go, but as far as the tournament's still organized, I mean, we were almost forgetting to leave out one of the larger focus points, and that's that Gaming Resorts never paid the hotel or the venue that was hosting all this and kind of just pieced out of the event.
They did just leave. Players' passports were actually being held at the hotel for a while because nobody had paid the hotel. They had to get lawyers and police involved to actually get all that stuff released. And then the hotel tries to lock all the equipment that did eventually show up, and all the stuff Gaming RS bought or brought for the stages and the streams, locked them all in the venue and said, you can't have it until we're paid, which is, I mean, you should know at that point that it's like there's something going on.
I mean, it was a cluster F to say the least. So all that's going on. No one's heard anything. Gaming Resorts said they were going to come out with a statement on Monday. They did come out with a statement, not on Monday, though. It was like a week later, and I have the statement here. It was just released, I believe, yesterday, September 13th, in the States.
Oh, I haven't even seen it yet. So right. What does it say?
So it says, and I won't read the whole thing, but I highlighted, most of it's good. It says, Dear Gamers, last week we hosted our first festival, blah, blah, blah. Some things in the media were true, while others were completely blown out of proportion. But this doesn't matter now, as the details of all these mishaps that we had during the event will be explained in an exclusive interview with our CEO. That's one sentence there that stuck out to me. They don't even mention, first off, this was supposed to be the explanation.
But it's like, oh, we're actually going to explain this later.
We're going to explain this later with our CEO, who said he was going to step down, but now I guess he's not because he's going to explain this explanation.
It almost feels like their PR team is like, hey, look, everybody's looking at us. Let's see if we can keep like momentum and traffic going. But they don't realize that people are not looking at them for good things.
No, and they even said here, but none of that matters now. No, it all matters still because you haven't explained. I mean, from everybody's outside perspective, because even gaming.rs, when it was asked these questions of where did the money go, what happened to this, what happened to that, even they are like, that wasn't us. We were told to plug in the computers and make sure they turned on, and really very little outside of that. We were here to set up the electronics. So that's a mess, but I guess eventually we'll hear from Gaming Resort's CEO, whoever that may be.
The thing that like bothers me the most about all this is Gaming RS CEO did say that Gaming Resorts plans to put on more of these tournaments. And I'm just like, after you get mistreated like this, like these people are going to come back as soon as there's another payout. As soon as there's some winnings for it.
And it's not so much that the fans, you don't have to worry about fans not watching it. Because honestly, no one cares if it's MLG or ESL.
When you're streaming it for free,
Sivo,
people are going to watch it.
Right. It's free for us. It's on the same computer I watch everything on, so it doesn't really matter who's hosting it, but I would like everything to be smooth in that sense. So here's a little bit more from this. He says, despite the fact that nothing could go more wrong from the perspective of those who followed us online, the people that actually came to the festival had a great time. They didn't only get to meet players and follow some great CSGO action, forget the Dota 2 that was completely canceled, but they also enjoyed the idyllic, that's what I'm going to use that word, nature that surrounded them, drink quality beer, meet some awesome, this English is not his first language, by the way, and I'm reading it the way it was, I guess, wrote from them, meet some awesome people, and establish that we hope to be life-lasting friendships. He goes on to continue, we would like to stress that our goal was not to create just another gaming festival, but a perfect gaming vacation, and we succeeded at last in doing that. One more sentence, it says, of course, we also took extra good care of the players, especially because all of the problems we had. So most of them left Slovenia, which is all this was taking place, with good impressions.
Did they like completely miss what happened?
And that's my point. Like, I feel like all this, when I read this yesterday, I got more upset over it because first off, I feel like as I was one who watched it online, or at least attempted to, but that was very, I mean, they only had 100 up and down on internet, so.
Did you watch the stream? Like, did you see the player cams and stuff of the stage and everything that was going on?
Yeah.
There was nobody else there except for the players. I mean, I'm not even sure who they're talking about.
And I'm not sure either, but I mean, here it says, it almost makes you feel like if you were someone watching it online, that he's saying, like, you guys are dumb. What was the matter with your,
right?
I don't see what was wrong. You were online. Get over it. Everyone here had fun. What do you mean everyone here had fun?
Very dismissive.
The hotel was holding the players as hostage. How can you say that they were having a good time and taken well care of when gaming.rs had to bring you back in the room to negotiate a way to pay these guys?
it's total PR garbage, but and it's not even good.
I was
PR
gonna
garbage.
Say it's not even they didn't even put a quality spin on it. At least PR should nowhere in this. And I guess this isn't even the official statement because it says that they're going to explain everything here later. Nowhere in this, though, did they apologize, except for they apologized for having to cancel Dota. They didn't apologize for everything that led to that cancellation. It is unreal.
Delusions, man. Just
how they just
that's
don't
rough.
See what went wrong and everything there.
Maybe the whole statement is just lost in translation. I hate to give them the benefit of a doubt, but maybe they didn't realize that they just completely dismissed everybody that watched that online.
It's unreal, and I can't wait to hear the actual statement from the CEO. And, you know, the CEO of Gaming.RS did a Reddit Ask Me Anything, and I wish this guy would do the same, or at least maybe not like a Reddit Ask Me Anything, but at least take some of the hot questions and answer them. Like, what happened with the computer guy?
That's the only way you're going to get any kind of quality, like, result out of what happened. Is you're just going to have to be honest with everybody.
Right. What? And you know what? If the guy who was picking up the computers tried to steal them or, you know, go AWOL, then say it. Like, what do you have to lose in that sense? Things happen in that on that front. Yeah. I mean, some people are going to steal some things. That's life. But at least that's a better explanation than saying we put on a great gaming vacation. Yeah. Do you want a gaming vacation or do you want to be a successful
there was a lot
organization?
Of like
that's
a
ridiculous.
Lot of vacation, not a whole lot of gaming. So.
No, it's the only reason there was time for vacation is because you had no internet. So that's going to be awesome to see. There was a whole lot of mess with that to kind of segue into the next segment with the betting in that. Because those delays, the betting organizations
don't
treat that very nicely.
You put a bet down on one of the first matches.
Yeah, and it was ridiculous because it was like,
do they just refund it or what?
No, like, they hold on to your bet until that match is played because it was never officially canceled. They just kept delaying it. So there's that. I was irate.
And see, you're the reason why Bloomberg Business wrote that story about kids betting on these video games.
Well, because at this point you have to pull your bet. The players, there's no way players could be in the right mental state after all of that.
Yeah, it throws the odds out of whack, doesn't it?
Yeah, you would have to. It's ridiculous.
But you do have the benefit of actually being legally able to bet.
This is true.
Bloomberg Business article is actually covering a bunch of underage betting that's going on with video games, which apparently wasn't a problem when it first started because everyone was just betting in-game items, which no big deal. Digital, I don't know, it's not really currency, but digital items aren't exactly worth anything at the beginning.
Creating lawsuits and news stories over.
I mean, there were some examples back, like way back when World of Warcraft was like the biggest game, people getting sued over stealing in-game items. There's just nothing you can really do about it.
Right.
But
and as
now,
far as kids taking parents' credit cards, that's not a betting issue. That's kids
stealing your stuff issue.
That has nothing to do with
But now betting. All this stuff that these kids are starting to throw on these matches to try and get new knives and skins and in-game items, they're all becoming worth a lot of money. Like I was reading a guy posted on Reddit a GIF of these knives that he just bought. He said it was like 270 keys, and he says like that comes out to something like 700 USD.
I think it's 259 per key. So do the math.
I was like, holy crap! Like that one item is worth that much money, and people are betting on this stuff.
The most valuable skin I have is a StatTrak AK-47 Jaguar. It's like $60.
Yeah, this was
beautiful.
A StatTrak knife.
And I will never bet it.
And it was like,
but it's
it was
it.
Red and it kind of looked like a Talon. I don't know. Either way, spends all this money on it. These people are betting it, losing it. And then there's, I mean, complete issue aside of gaming it to get your item back if you lost it in a bet. But people are literally stealing money to place bets to win these in-game items.
Which, though, I mean, for those who don't know, you can turn around, though, and sell these in-game items for real money. There are sites out there now where, because before you can just sell it on the Steam marketplace, which gets you Steam, like, credits. Basically, it's like a right. gift card for Steam that you can only use on those games. But there are websites out there now that you can actually go in and they'll give you, I mean, it's a secure website that they'll give you real money for this stuff.
And that's where the problem's starting to come in, because all of a sudden this stuff that wasn't really worth anything has now become worth actual currency. And there's a big percentage of underage people that are actually betting on this stuff. And it leads to all kinds of, like, who's responsible if something goes wrong? Are they even able to make a educated decision on the bet? Like, if a 14-year-old is just betting on his favorite team,
there's
and
no
he
educational.
Loses? Yeah, there's.
Look,
he doesn't know.
I'm 25 and there's no educational decision going into this.
every time
someone's like, "Oh, easy skids, bet on Fnatic," I'm like, "No problem, bro. No problem. Here's $40," and then I lose it all.
Exactly.
But there's no rhyme or reason.
And then you got these these parents going absolutely crazy over their kids losing all this money. It's like, well, then pay attention to what your kid is doing.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, I mean, I get there's no way for these sites to be really held responsible. I mean, it's not like it's a casino where a kid sneaks in and then goes on the slot machines. And I guess you could say, like, well, there.
Right.
This is on the internet. Sure, put a little age restriction thing on there. See how that works. You're not going to get anyone telling the truth on that. And if someone does, they're an idiot. They'll just erase their cookies and then be done with it. Redo it again.
Yeah.
You're good.
And the especially in the United Kingdom, there's been several cases of kids using online gambling, because you can get a debit card over there to, like, 11 years old. And as long as there's funds on it, you can use it for it. And there's been cases of parents suing these companies trying to, like, say my kid wasn't, you didn't check hard enough to see if my kid was over, I don't even know if it's 18, legal gambling age. And the courts are like, no, there's age checks. There's big descriptions on there that say don't do this if you're under a certain age. It's just becoming a huge problem. And esports is just a new way for people to
voice their concern
to do it. Yeah.
And that's what I think, too. I think it's just, look, I don't.
It's the same old song and dance. It's just a new venue
exactly
for it.
Exactly what it is. It's kids in high school playing a poker game on Saturday. Yes, that's technically illegal gambling, and they're probably not putting up as much money as they would betting Counter-Strike skins or Dota 2 items or just straight up betting money on League.
And
what are you going to do?
One of the more interesting things that happened as a result of that article was the, like, esports community got super riled up about Bloomberg Business, like, talking trash about esports betting, I guess because it's associated with esports.
That's just the internet.
Yeah, it was whatever. It was total pitchforks and mob mentality going after it. So
I think everyone has a case to stand on here. I mean, but who do you blame? Do you blame the websites for supplying it all? Which I know they've gotten into heated debates, and some websites have been taken down temporarily because of issues of scamming and everything like that. Do you blame the kids for going on there and knowing that it's illegal? And then do you just charge the kids for illegal betting? You charge, not charge, but, blame the parents? I mean, what do you, there's no way of getting around it.
I think
the websites are the websites. What are you going to do? Have people
I think as long as the website,
send in birth certificates?
As long as the website makes, like, an effort to prove that, or, all the disclaimers and stuff are there, I don't think a website should ever be held liable for.
And I agree. I think,
because that's such a slippery slope to go down.
It will take very little for a website to wipe their hands clean, because all they need to do is post a little terms and agreements that no one's going to read.
No one reads
and
their own note.
You must be at legal gambling age in your respective country, because that's another thing. All of this is international.
Oh, yeah, it's the World Wide Web. It's everywhere now.
Everyone can bet on this, so that's going to be an issue. What are you going to do? I don't see it going anywhere, and I honestly don't see it changing.
It's just people are just going to talk about it forever because, yeah, you're right. There's no way this is ever going to stop. I mean, even with regulations in place, you're not going to catch
The only way they're going to get rid of this is the same way they did with online poker, where they just say, you know what? There's not a way to regulate this. We don't know who's gambling this money, and it's electronic, so it's easy. Well, it's not easy, but people can put in the effort to scam and hack and do whatever they want. So rather than trying to figure out how to do it legally, we're just going to make it all illegal right now.
Yep, just no more.
And
yeah.
We'll try to figure it out later, but it's... And I honestly think if it's going to go anywhere other than stay the way it is, that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, you're right. There's probably no way to actually control what goes on.
It's
so they'll probably just outright ban it.
It's going to quickly just be dismissed as something that not worth the time and effort.
So with all that said, if you're planning on any big bets soon, you might want to get them in pretty quickly.
You have a lot of big tournaments coming up. Speaking of big tournaments and money lost on my end, ESL Dubai just finished a couple days ago, VP.
Sunday.
Yeah, Virtus Pro ended up taking home the
100,000.
100,000 from there. That was another tournament that started out, as far as online fan perspective, a little shaky. I'd say towards the end, it ended up being okay.
I think the biggest issue with that was the location. They decided to do a tournament outside in the middle of the desert at the end of summer.
And even then, I mean, I feel like it was mainly because I think the issue with ESL Dubai, yes, that's dumb. A, video game in general should not be played outside. We play them so we don't have to go outside.
Right.
I don't play Madden so I can go out on a football field and play Madden. No, I do it so I can sit on my couch and enjoy the air conditioning. So that was a mistake. It looked cool.
It did look pretty cool. The skyline behind the commentators was
pretty neat. At night, it looked
really
cool. But I mean, when it's 102, 95 degrees outside.
The crux of the issue was they had this tournament outside. It was too hot to play outside, so they moved all of the players into like a separate building. And then told anybody that bought a ticket, sorry, come back at 7 o'clock because we're not playing on the main stage until then.
Right, and that was 7 o'clock. I guess is nighttime there.
Was there? Yeah, was that's like when the sun goes. Yeah.
I think to be fair though, with this ESL Dubai backlash that a lot of people had at the start, is this was only a few days after Gaming Resort's disaster.
Yeah, everybody. Well,
so I think
everyone in the community is ticked off that all these people are putting on these tournaments and not like putting any thought into it.
Yeah, so I think there was some backlash still from that of people just saying this is ridiculous. The early pictures, and I even said this when I saw the early pictures of Dubai, because you had what looked to be appear big blue trash bags everywhere, and yeah, the screens weren't working, but then it turned out to where those big blue trash bags were actually giant fluffy pillows.
Were they? Like,
yes.
I thought I didn't
those
know if that
were
was
the pillows.
Okay, it was those.
In all that right. original picture that someone showed up during the day, those were giant pillows, not trash bags.
Gotcha.
So that was a lot of issue there, as everyone was like, dude, was this like a dump site or something? Like,
Well, they had the shipping containers all around. It kind of looked like, but I think that's the look they were going for.
No, that was the look they were trying to make it look all gritty, shipping container shootout.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
That they want to do there. So they did that. Overall, the tournament, I'd say, was a success as far as fan interaction goes. Some people complained also about the casters being online. Look, that's the way it goes.
Oh,
these tournaments
couple,
are long
yeah.
days. You're going to... That's just online
well,
gaming.
And I did hear that the casters that they managed to find, like... I didn't watch any of the casting that was going on that early. I tuned in after it already had the sun had set and they were doing it from the stage. But apparently the couple of casters that they got weren't very good. A lot of using what is in Counter-Strike known as auto director, which is when you're spectating a match, it controls the camera for you.
That doesn't make any sense why they did that.
So there was a lot of complaining going on about that too. And And it all stems from the fact that they couldn't have the normal people that were there to broadcast the game do it because it was too hot outside.
But in the end, everything kind of worked out. I do want to go over the, because there were eight teams. There were eight teams. There was, what, Virtus Pro, TSM, Fnatic, NIP, Envy Us. Don't screw that up. They will correct you. You had Titan, Na'Vi, and Cloud9. Those are the eight teams invited.
I like that token North American team in there.
If there is going to be an American team invited anywhere, it will be Cloud9 for now. We'll see how that goes. So I do want to talk about, I guess, what do you want to do? Just work your way from bottom to the top?
Sure.
Start
let's
from
do
worst
it.
Teams to the next. So Cloud9, in my notes here, I just have a sad
last
face.
Last place finish.
Last place. They continue their struggles. I don't know. I think that it, so we have a theory, and we can go deeper in this on another future show. I think an issue with Cloud9 is that they are an American team. Or I should, they're American, they have Canadians, whatever. It's a North American
team. Yeah.
North American team. And for those of you who don't know, for whatever reason, North America is not the happening place for Counter-Strike tournaments, or really tournaments in general. I don't know what the deal is with that, but it's just not. So a lot of these North American teams are forced to fly out over there. I think that plays a big factor in their performance, is all the traveling that has to go on. I think it takes away time from practice, being comfortable with sleep schedules, the environment. I mean, you know, you go on business trips and everything, you sleep in a hotel, it's just never the same.
Well, and it really does suck trying to go from like this time zone to one that's like 6 hours either way.
Right.
It's
so
rough.
I think that plays a part in it. Because even then I saw Shroud tweet out, I believe it was yesterday, so this would have been 2 or 3 days after Dubai, that he just was getting back to Toronto. And then in 5 days, they're flying to London for DreamHack.
Yeah, that's a rough turnaround.
So they're home for 5 days, and they have to turn around and go in the same direction he just came from, basically, in London. So that's 5 days of trying. I don't even know at that point, do you just stick with the sleeping schedule from Dubai because it's closer to London than it is here?
Yeah, playing or staying up and playing through the night and kind of sleeping during the day.
It's no practice or anything there, or at least very little practice compared to the teams that are a lot closer to London. I just think that has a big factor in North American teams struggling in LAN, because surprisingly they all do a little bit better in online tournaments. Never the best, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if the tables were switched, Cloud9 would be number one in the world. But I do think traveling has some say in it.
I really think Cloud9 needs to be a little worried about their placing right now in the rankings. I really think Team Liquid specifically.
Well, and yeah, it's a good thing you bring that up, because I've been watching Team Liquid now, and we could talk about that in the iBuyPower
right
invite, because that's where they played. But yes, that's another North American team up on the rise. What's another? You have LG, CLG. Those are all, I would say, in the discussion of top North American teams. Again, though, still, LG and CLG are not even in the top discussion to be a top 10 team worldwide, and yet they're in the discussion for top American team. So that tells you where the scene's at for North America Counter-Strike anyways.
Who finished just above Cloud9? Who was the next one? Was it?
You have Na'Vi, which lately has been on a downward spiral. No one can figure out what's going on with Na'Vi.
They were playing all right. I didn't even realize they had dropped as that far down in that tournament. I didn't think they were doing that terrible.
Na'Vi has been pretty rough lately. A lot of people are saying that there are off-site issues going on with the team. I guess that means like heads are butting, just friendships are dwindling.
Oh, right.
So I don't know, but I got this crazy stat here for Na'Vi. In ESL Dubai, no one finished the tournament with a positive KD. The worst on the team was Guardian at negative 10.
That's
not one person had more kills than deaths. for the whole tournament, which I think they only played two matches or so, but still.
That's terrible.
No one goes positive. It's things like that that make me think, I could be on that team if you want me to play.
Navi, you listening?
I'll take like 10% of what you guys are making right now. I can do it. That's fine if that's all you're offering. So I don't know what Navi is going to do. They really need to turn it around because it seems like they just have not been able to put good tournaments together here as of late. Bringing up ahead of them, were actually both French teams. You have Titan and Envious finished 5th and 6th.
Which this was actually a really good outing for Titan. They were actually struggling quite a bit and sort of used this tournament to kind of turn the corner on that. So they did better than they had been recently. It was a pretty decent showing for them. Envious, I was actually a little disappointed in the first match I watched them in. Were really good. Like they looked like they were ready to play and then just kind of fell off a cliff.
Yeah, I think with touching on Titan, because I kind of agree with you that for them it was a pretty good tournament. You know, finishing in the bottom half, it's, you know, you gotta take it for what it is. Titan finishing where they did, they played well. I think the issue with Titan is that a lot of people have high expectations for them being the team that they formerly were. I just think the players need to play consistent with each other. So it seems like you always either have, you know, Shocks and Smiths playing really well and the other team's not doing well. And it just seems like they're always not together. So I think if Titan pulls it together, but you know what, Titan, or people have been saying that about Titan forever now.
So like, how long does it last on reputation?
Yeah, like, how long can you keep saying like, well, if all they did was play, they'd be fine. And then Envious, actually, you know, they were one of my favorites going into the tournament other than Fnatic, which I think is always everybody's favorite going into any tournament as of late.
That's like rooting for the Patriots.
Yeah, they're kind of for sure money most of the time, that is. But Envious, I was definitely surprised that where they finished. You know, they didn't, I have here, I made note watching the games here on Cash against Virtus Pro. They actually didn't win a single defensive round on Counter-Terrorist. Not a single round on Cash, which that's actually a CT favored map.
Did you, what was the, do you have the final? Did they get dumpstered?
In front of me. Let's see. I do not have it in front of me here what the final score was.
More importantly, Envious lost to Ninjas in Pajamas.
Ninjas in Pajamas, which you for some reason have a hate for.
I just...
You actually wrote an article about it, which is on our website, which I have no idea if
it's actually... it'll be up. Coming up Friday.
Probably by the time someone listens to this, it'll be
at,
up.
At PGN.TV. You can catch that article and an upcoming one on Cloud9. But NIP is just not... They've got this huge reputation and this huge fan base of being this really good team. And they were for a while. But once again, like, how long does that last on reputation? They have not been performing.
So here's my beef with you on this. Because, like I said, you just think that they have one more tournament in them, and then it's just...
I really think after DreamHack, they're done.
I actually was impressed with their performance. A, they've won a major not that long ago. I felt like this, you know, this time around at Dubai, they actually played really well for the first time in a while. You have this one being the first tournament, which... This is the first tournament since removing Natu as coach. I don't think that had any part in it. Just because I'm on the side where I don't think coaches in esports play very... I just don't think they do much.
I'm actually kind of surprised the whole coach trend has stuck around for that long.
I don't... It's just... If I was playing...
Well, I mean, they had those back when we were playing Halo competitively. They had coaches on a few teams.
And, you know, I guess at some point it could help if he was...
My problem is I'm like, hey man, I will handle my own call outs.
Right. How about I'm the one playing? I mean, it's just it's a backseat gamer. That's all right. A coach is.
There
and
you go.
No one likes a backseat gamer. If I'm sitting here in Counter-Strike playing competitive and, you know, I'm the last one alive and my four teammates are trying to tell me what to do, I'm like, shut up. let me do this.
Yeah, I got
need,
this.
I need silent. I need to get in my zone. I don't need the coach telling me what to do or so. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. And maybe on a professional team, they take a backseat to backseat gaming. And maybe they're not as hands-on. I don't know. I've never played on that level where we felt like we needed a coach.
So we actually don't disagree on Nip's performance at this tournament. I think Nip actually played really well. And, I mean, there was a ton of quotes from the players on the other team of Nip having this, like, crazy, unpredictable, like, aggressive style that they've never really played with before. And I really think this is, like, a... this is going to be one of our last tournaments. Who cares? Let's just go out and play. And you can't live on that forever. I mean, if you're already at that point, I think you're done.
Well, and here's one of my arguments, too, though, with your case of Nip being done. And I even sent you this before we did the show here, that out of their last 10 matches, they're 5-for-5, which to any other team, that's pretty, you probably don't want to be 500, especially if you hold the status of Nip. But in those 5 losses, 4 of them have been against TSM and VP, which is arguably
top three. Nip is supposed to be a top team in the world.
And then you have their 5th loss in that mix up was Fnatic. So out of those 5 losses in their last 10 matches have all arguably been against top 3 teams. I think Nip being a top team in the world is based off of more fandom than anything. I don't think there's any need. If you want to look at a team that needs to maybe look at their roster spot, but it will break everyone's heart, is Cloud9. Because it just seems like they're all best friends, and everyone loves them. There's no one on Cloud9 that someone's like they need to get rid of, because everybody loves everybody on Cloud9.
I'll go ahead and give you a little preview on my upcoming Cloud9 article, but Freakazoid.
Well, he's like kind of that's the one.
He's been awful.
If there's someone to make a boneheaded play, I think Freakazoid has a more reputation than anyone.
All right.
But even then, Cloud9's always had a reputation. And for my recent memory, not to get stuck on Cloud9 again, because I love him. But, man, there was a while there. It was a rotating door.
Right.
There's new guys. So I'm glad they're trying to stick along with this one. So let's see. We had Nip. I think another surprise finish. Actually, no, it was. There's no doubt about it. It's Fnatic coming in third. Well, tied for third and fourth is the way the tournament set up.
Yeah, I was really kind of surprised. They actually looked really good the first 2 matches, and then after that just kind of sort of crumbled. But I mean, they lost to TSM, right?
Right. Yeah, TSM finally was able to take them down. They also lost 1 game to VP, so I guess if you're gonna
lost the first and second place.
Yeah, I mean,
so
if you're gonna lose to them, and that way no one can say anything otherwise. I mean, there's not really much to say. It's Fnatic. They'll bounce back. If anything,
that was just an off performance.
If anything, this probably refocused them. I think watching some of their games, they were getting a little too cocky in between Cologne and Dubai.
Right.
Fnatic. I think
Fnatic is seriously
fine.
One of the only teams that you can look at and be like, that's a top like 1-3 team every tournament. So they're gonna suffer from it.
Exactly. So I will say, though, speaking of Fnatic, my top play of the tournament, which wasn't even like a crucial play in the game or anything like that, was JW's op kill on Zipnik on Dust 2. Did you see this?
I did not see that play.
It was genius thinking, and this is why I love it. So he's on CT. JW Fnatic is playing CT side. Zipnik is on Terrorist going towards Double Doors by A Long.
Are you talking about when he walked through the Molotov?
Yes.
I did see that.
So JW,
yes.
So they molly doors at Long A, which, you know, not uncommon, especially if you're expecting a rush, because really a molly is just to stop the other team from going there.
Yeah, just buy you some time.
Yeah, buy you some time. So JW gets the know-how, which, again, I would never even thought of this. just to jump through the molly, take a few hits of damage, pop out of double doors when no one is looking because no one's expecting anyone to go through there.
Everybody went mid.
They went to mid, I think catwalk or something like that, somewhere in mid. And JW pops out, pops Zipnik, and then heads back through double doors to cover long A.
Nobody's going to chase him through the molly.
No, I mean,
it was genius.
It was genius heads up play by JW. So as much as you hate JW, which I'm there for, I'm with you. When I'm watching Fnatic, I just want to punch JW in the face. But I loved that play. I got a good chuckle after seeing that. And then obviously, if you're looking at top plays, you got to mention Zipnik's 3K on VP and Train. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was very nice.
If you're looking at clutch, it was clutch. JW's play, I wouldn't say was clutch at all, just because it was clever. The start of a round. It was just very cleverly done, and that's Fnatic for you. They make clever plays. They'll stack four ops down suicide. They don't care.
So let me ask, speaking of amazing plays, how you felt. Did you see the last round between VP and TSM where VP clinched?
I've seen highlights. I want to go back and actually sit through. I've seen Pasha's interview on it and everything.
There was a lot of chatter about how VP plays with people's emotions, and that was exactly it. Because it looked like they were completely done, and they managed to pull it out in the very last round, and everybody just went absolutely ballistic about it.
I mean, it was very crazy. We'll talk about VP here in a second because we're almost there. We have TSM. I mean, kind of like, I mean, you know, second place. I wouldn't hang your head on second place. Yeah, TSM have had kind of their, you know, duds
struggles.
Kicked up. Yeah, it's just they've seemed to be the second place team here for a while. But it's I'm actually impressed. It seems like TSM have kind of came out of nowhere lately. They've been playing pretty well. I will say this, so I have another kind of fun stat here for the fifth map. Against VP, that is, no one on the team had a KD above -3.
On TSM?
On TSM. On the fifth map of against VP, no one had KD above -3. No one had more than 20 kills. I mean, that tells you your struggle.
That they managed to get to second place with that.
Yeah, I mean, they just need to work on I think if TSM works on their eco rounds a little more, because that's kind of what... I mean, it's easy to say to work on your eco rounds when it's more or less just a coin flip. At least the pistol round is. It kind of was a shame for them because it's kind of the way Counter-Strike goes, but their economy was just in shambles by the last round versus VP, and it's just you go in there with you know an MP7 and a dream to hopefully come out on top, but they didn't, and VP.
Do you think TSM's going to start developing kind of that we're not going to be able to close out games mentality before?
No, I don't. I mean, that's just Counter-Strike. I mean, it's just how it goes. Like I said, I don't know how low you can hang your head when you get second place.
Right.
I mean, they took it to... I think they were had a game up on... A map up on VP.
Yeah.
But I mean... You're in second place. You took it to the fifth map. You are right there. I mean, it's just, I feel like this is one where, you know, watch the film once and then move on. There's not much you can do on that. Because, I mean, VP.
Show for the next tournament ready to go.
Right, yeah. Because VP did play out of their minds. They just really from the get-go dominated. They beat Fnatic. TSM, I mean, they beat top teams there. VP is also a very big crowd favorite, especially in Dubai. I don't know what it is. Dubai loves their Counter-Strike, all those rich people giving the pros money. I don't know what it is. But VP has a lot of followings there, and I honestly didn't have a whole lot of notes on VP. They just kind of...
Are you not a VP fan?
Like, no, I love VP. They're Polish.
I was
going
to say, like, Polak.
No, I just don't have much to say.
There.
I mean, they kind of dominated the whole tournament.
It is what it is, right?
I mean, yeah, just they played amazingly. Everyone made their shots. It's like you said on the fifth map, they were down. what? They were down here.
They were
14-13 scoreline in their favor. And then, or I guess
it took them three rounds to flip it
to TSM. And then VP just came around and won three without dropping any. So, and like I said, it's those late rounds that if you can win and you turn that economy against the other side, I mean, you could pull through looking a lot better than what you were. Because, I mean, say what you want. There's just so much to take, I guess, in with Counter-Strike is that, yeah, they won three in a row and TSM couldn't pull it around. But if they were playing anti-eco, buying MP7s and whatever they can just to hopefully
finish out a game.
Finish a game. I mean, a
couple of clutch kills and you're in a hole.
Yeah, it's just the way it works. It's just, I guess, try to have better economy management. But then I would say their argument to that is, well, why don't we just win and
be done?
Screw the economy management. Right. Let's just keep winning. So there's that. I will say this, though. Despite all the heat, despite all the controversy of the Dubai setup originally, I do have this little piece of audio here from Pasha. Obviously, I didn't get this. This is somebody who does harder work than I do. But here's Pasha discussing Dubai and kind of its expectations as a major.
ESL ESEA Dubai, compared to the major, where do you think this tournament stands? Is it like of winning a major?
I feel like here, my friend, like is something big. If the crowd will be bigger here, we can put in the major tournament. So I am saying, my friend, it's a major.
Is Dubai the best place to have a tournament right now?
Like I said, if we have the biggest stage and everything, it will be the huge, huge, huge. And I come back here, my friend, 100% sure.
So there's Pasha kind of doing an interview, post-game interview after their match. It sounded like he loved it.
Yeah, when you just won $100,000, why wouldn't you?
That's the truth. I mean, I watched the whole interview. It's about 5 minutes long. He never once brings up, you know, the heat. What were the conditions like for you? You know, was it weird playing outside?
Did anybody, like, ask him kind of his thoughts on that? Or just asked him how it was?
The one interview I saw, he was talking about the fans and everything like that. It was a very pleasant, uplifting news interview. Right. And I wish, you know, at least in the interviews that I heard, I wish someone did say, like, hey, did the heat throw you off? Did the constantly going into one venue, out of the other venue, throw you off? I don't...
Kind of being honest about the situation or whatever, I mean...
Right, I mean, but then again, it's like you said, like, oh, I mean, they won it, so of course he's going to love it.
Somebody go ask Cloud9 what they thought about it.
Right. Of course, Cloud9 didn't even get to play outside, so I guess they weren't too worried about it. But I mean, yeah, it's like... they had air conditioning units outside, but take it from people who live in Texas... Those don't really help when it's 95, 102.
Just blowing hot air around.
I mean, so, I don't know. But apparently it worked out well. Look, I get if Dubai was a success, I don't want it to be another major. Enough majors, and this is coming from probably a snobby American, I just want one in our time zone, or at least around it. I'm getting sick of my friends texting me at 6 a.m. saying, like, man, did you catch that match? Like, no. I didn't.
I was sleeping.
Because I'm sleeping like a normal human being who works. So, whatever. I guess I'm sure Dubai will get another one because, if anything, they'll just pay for it themselves and
yeah,
go about it their merry way.
Goes.
Right. Real quick here, there's not a whole lot of discussion on it, just given the teams that played in it. The SIVO and iBuyPower hosted a tournament just recently. It finished up. Yesterday? Today? I'm getting all my days mixed up. It finished up recently. They announced it. It's very weird. And I have my theories. iBuyPower announced that they did this fall invitational on Friday. Thursday or Friday. And like started it the next day.
Well, it was an online tournament. So I guess people weren't traveling or anything like that. But yeah, no preparation whatsoever.
It's weird. I mean, normally you at least get some kind of build up, and maybe the teams knew about it going in. I'm assuming they did.
Well, even if you don't know about it, I mean, they're playing a lot of the same teams in that ESEA Pro League all the time, so mm-hmm. they kind of have an idea of what's going on. But
right. Now, this was all North American, So that's kind of always exciting to watch as far as being a North American.
There was one Brazilian team.
Well, that's North American. Or it's South. Yeah. Listen, as far as Counter-Strike and everything else goes, it's North America.
It's on this hemisphere.
It's, yes, if it's on this side of the Earth, that's what we're going on. So, and actually, there have been two, because Liquid is technically a Brazilian team.
Team Liquid?
Yeah, and then you have LG. So,
oh, I think Team Liquid's USA, man.
If it is USA, and I thought it was,
I do know they have, like...
See, and I questioned myself on this, because I thought Team Liquid was USA, too. But I by power had them labeled as Brazilian.
All the rankings, I think, have them as North American.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think they've been...
All right,
I think they have a big roster.
Okay, we'll go with North... We're going to go with American. Because that was my initial thought. I thought they were always American, and I by power is making me question myself.
It's hard to tell because these teams change so often.
This is true. So either way, though, the final ended up being Luminosity Gaming and Team Liquid. Team Liquid ended up winning. It was a best of three. I think they won.
Team Liquid didn't drop a match in the tournament.
Really? The whole time they went undefeated?
They may have lost a map or a round or two, but they didn't drop a match.
Okay, so there's that. No Cloud9 in this, obviously, because of Dubai. I'm sure they probably could have swung it if maybe they knew ahead. I don't know. I don't know if they really honestly wanted Cloud9 in there, just because I have a feeling Cloud9 would clean house.
I don't know, man. Team Liquid's 6-0 right now.
Liquid looked good, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the teams that they have played, I don't think have.
No, they're and it's all been online too, so
you're right. Take that into consideration. I believe too. Someone can fact check me on this. Team Liquid, I think this was their first tournament since Heiko, however you want to say his name, joined the team.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's kind of big. Heiko, I'm a fan of him. I follow his stream. I think he's a good dude. Former Cloud9 member, former everything member. There was a while there where it was like every week it seemed like he was on a new team. And I figured that was probably more of a him issue than a team issue.
Yeah, once you start bouncing around like that.
After a while, it makes people kind of question, like, okay, who's really having issues here? So, but they obviously won. They took home $9,000.
Play video so games compared to $9,000.
Compared to, so you have that tournament that won $9,000 for winner, and Dubai that just won $100,000. So,
and what's funny is, like, they were actually, like, as far as the tournament goes, it seemed like there's kind of just as many people watching that iBuyPower kind of smaller North American tournament as there was watching all the other ones.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it. You get a little less following on that. I think people do care a little less. North American teams, even North Americans, just because they aren't as well known.
I have to give iBuyPower this. Their stream was nice looking.
It was very nice. It was not quite PGL, but it was very nice.
Oh, nothing's PGL.
One thing, I want to say, though, with the sudden announcement and then the very quick play, and they even had some delays too, but that's always going to happen on an online tournament. I mean, guaranteed. Look, even if there are no internet problems, if a team all of a sudden, like, lost six in a row, you best believe all of a sudden there's internet problems.
You're going to be checking pings.
Yeah, there's something going on there. So there was delays there. But I think one of the reasons iBuyPower did the quick announcement and everything, and they've really been out of the competitive gaming scene here as of late, and I think it's they're trying to rebuild their image as far as in the competitive scene goes, because that... Their snafu last year, I believe it was, where their professional team got busted for rigging matches. What's the word I'm looking for?
Oh, with the betting stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they basically rigged the match to where
they would bet on the other team.
But they would bet on the other team and then everything there. So Valve got with ESL, and basically every other place that I know of is honoring this rule that any player that were on those teams is, as of now, lifetime ban. I think ESL has it as a 1-year ban, but it's up to their discretion of ever letting them back in. So that is a mess in itself. And
why these people would take like the opportunity they have and just crap all over it.
I don't know, dude. It's unreal, but I think ever since then, iBuyPower hasn't put a team together or anything like that. And I think they're just slowly, because they took a really big image hit for that. A lot of people that I know is kind of, for some reason, blamed the brand. And maybe they had stuff to do with it. I don't know on that. But so I think that was one of the issues for the quick startup and go on this one, is they want to get iBuyPower back on there, on the map. Because I know there has been, there's been some whispers of them trying to get a team back together for sponsors and everything like that, but I guess only time will tell on that. Lord knows I don't have any insider information. What else? I guess that's it as far as tournaments goes. I do want to get into some quick hits before we head out for the show. Let's see here. You have kind of big news, not big news. Gamers 2 picked up Kinguin.
Now they're actually going to be G2 Kinguin, I believe.
Is that their new official
name?
Yeah,
G2 is partnering with Kinguin.com to sponsor these guys. And Kinguin's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, it's just adding a sponsor to the name, really. It's not changing anything there. So just know next time you see Kinguin and you see G2 in front of it, it's still the same team. Dota 2 has its, we can just call it Dota, right? No one refers to it as Dota 2. Dota has its ESL New York. That starts up October 3rd, and that goes on to the 4th. So you have a little weekend tournament for ESL New York. That's pretty big, actually, because
Dota 2 is huge. And they actually just, Dota 2 just actually released their new...
Is it the Source 2, right?
Yeah, Source 2 Reborn.
I have not been on it since they've updated that. I want to get on there, though, to see what the big fuss about Source 2 is. So that's going to be big. We will definitely discuss that here in future episodes as far as the ESL in New York goes for Dota. DreamHack Austin, their ticket prices and everything were announced. They actually go on sale here very shortly. We will be there.
We will be there.
We're definitely going to discuss that. Maybe not. We'll see when we'll discuss it, considering it's not until May of next year. We have a long time. But they did announce some of their headlining games there, which I think are worth noting. Counter-Strike GO. Obviously, that's going to be huge, considering at that time, it's going to be one of the bigger, if not the biggest, CSGO tournament in America to date.
Yeah, up to date, it's going to be the biggest one.
You have that one in San Jose, but I think DreamHack will be.
DreamHack at that point, especially after this upcoming major.
Right, I think
it's going to be.
I think that's going to be huge. It's going to be fun to watch some of those teams live. Super Smash Brothers.
I'm actually surprised to see that on the list.
Are you really? See, now that is a happening game.
I mean, you know, the problem is fighting games. I've never been able to grasp.
No, see, I will be there and I will watch everything there. I'm going to assume Mewtwo King. And Mango will be there.
Wait, Mango? I recognize that name. He's still playing Smash?
Yeah, he's still playing Smash. So he's actually Cloud9.
Good for him.
So I will be their best friends there. We're going to definitely make some signs for Sean Garris. and then also, this is the one I was kind of surprised on, but not really at the same time. Street Fighter V will be a headlining game there. Kind of interesting considering a release date hasn't even been set for that game. So
somebody's got some info.
We'll see. Yeah, well, that's what everyone's saying, is it was going to be released in the first quarter of
2016.
That was the rumors, first quarter of 2016. So I guess now that's
that'll be a fun tournament because it's only going to give people a couple months to kind of get it under
so
their belt.
That's going to be exciting to see. One other thing I thought I'd mention, just because it is what got us, other than Halo and everything, but it's what we made our mark in the professional gaming world, that we were actually classified as pro. Ubisoft is doing a Canadian tour tournament for Rainbow Six Siege, basically hitting all the hot spots in Canada, and having a tournament to see who the top team is for Rainbow Six Siege.
In Canada,
because Ubisoft is a Canadian company. One of the dumb things, though, I think with that, the game's not even out yet. The game comes out December 1st, so they're literally having a tournament in beta to see who these top teams are in beta.
Well, you and I have been to tournaments of like the Halo 2 tournaments before the game actually released. People coming from Halo 1 to play Halo 2 for the first time and being in a tournament situation. It's just kind of a way to
put it on the map, I guess. Yeah. It's like we said at the beginning of the show. I mean, it is a craze, and the thing is, if you want your game to survive for years and years past its due date,
make
it a competitive, like, sport game where you can have competition and have tournaments, and people will love it forever. There's a reason Counter-Strike and Dota and League have been around for so long. So that's really it for the quick hits. I believe that's all. Do you have anything else for the show?
Nope.
We went over a lot. So thank you for listening to The Center Ring, Episode 1. We are going to try doing this, every 2 weeks or so?
Bi-weekly.
Obviously, tournaments pending. Obviously, if there's a big tournament, I want to get a preview in there.
Yeah, we'll drop one in. So you can find us at pgn.tv/TCR.
That's the website there. Lots of stuff will go up there eventually. Obviously, we're building up there articles, kind of our own opinion articles there. As far as gaming goes, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Pirate Mushroom.
I'm at Brand PGN. B-R-A-N-D PGN.
So corporate. I applied for press passes for DreamHack, and they asked for your Twitter account, and I put at Pirate Mushroom, and I was like, maybe I should change that. But then again, I was like, it's DreamHack. They know.
They get it.
They get it. They understand. So there's that. I believe the show has a Twitter. It's at The Center Ring, all one word. We'll probably tweet stuff out there.
Be up on iTunes very shortly.
Up on iTunes. We're waiting for the approval process on that. So check us out there. That's it for The Center Ring. Thank you all for listening, and be back next time. And like I said, in the meantime, go check out some. We have awesome tournaments happening all the time in professional gaming. So go check it out. Maybe you'll like it. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us. And we'll do the best to our knowledge to kind of half-ass answer all of them. So again, thank you for listening to The Center Ring. And we'll talk to you next time.